We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This episode is sponsored by Schwann's.com. What are you having for dinner tonight? Good question. Schwann's Home Delivery has a solution for you. Stock up your freezer with high-quality frozen foods like premium meats and sides, delicious ready-made meals, ice cream, and more. No subscriptions, no memberships, just a friendly yellow truck that's been delivering food for almost 70 years. Listeners of this show get a special deal. Get 20% off your first order with code YUM20. Check out schwanz.com/yum for details.
Finished 13-3, a 13-win season for the third time in franchise history.
I've been dreaming this my whole life. And so have you.
Yeah.
It's time to put in the work.
Yeah.
Every man gonna dominate.
Boys.
Offense, defense, special team. Let's go.
What are we talking about?
Greg Zuerlein sends the Rams to the Super Bowl.
Hey, welcome to Rams Talk Radio. We're live on Sunday night, which means we're going to be full of airs and hopefully full of energy on a training camp week one. We are back, and so are the Rams. We hope. Fingers crossed. Here with former Los Angeles Rams defensive back Michael Stewart and Steve Goldstein. Yeah, guys, it's August. We're finally talking some football, we hope. We had got a little bit of fireworks even before we got started, just in our own private conversation. Here we are again. Nice to see you. Mike, how you doing? Uh-oh. Mike, you there?
I think it's on mute.
Yeah, what a way to start. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing fine, Derek. How are you doing?
Doing good.
I'm doing good, and my mic is open.
It's been a few months.
You're back.
Here. You back, Mike? How about this? We do a live episode and we immediately get technical difficulties. Mike is gone for the moment, but we'll talk with you, Steve. Steve, how's it been? It's been a while since you've been on the podcast.
Yeah, it's been a long time. So hopefully we were hoping that we would kind of be out from under this whole thing by now. But we got to keep on keeping on. And hopefully we're going to have some football coming up here soon. It seemed like Sean McVay, I just listened to his press conference today that he had out here in LA, and he sounded a lot more optimistic than he sounded a month ago or so ago when he pretty much was going the Debbie Downer route, but which I was too. Full disclosure, I was on the Debbie Downer route at that point too, row two. But it looks like he's pretty optimistic, and we're gonna head towards first game without any preseason games.
Well, I mean, he sounds optimistic. I gotta say, I love his youthful enthusiasm because I don't know how I can feel enthusiastic. I'm sitting there watching the Miami Marlins, you know, go have some fun with themselves, Corona, the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm wondering how long will it be before some of the other teams crack and mess this whole thing up. And it's clear we have a very, let's just say, a very infectious disease in terms of, horrifyingly lame for me to say, that's the easy way to say it. Contagious, it's one of the more contagious things we've ever seen. How are they going to keep, 55, 60 guys on a sideline from getting this thing in and spreading through a locker room? I have no idea, because we just saw it go through a baseball locker room plus another one in the last week and a half. And, as we're hearing, rumors are baseball's on the teetering point in terms of how we're going to do this. Mike, you here, man?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing? I greeted you, and we got silence. Doing good.
Yeah, I don't know. All these electronic apparatuses and connections, sometimes they go a little wacky. But how's everything going?
It's a joyous day. We're here on Sunday night talking some football. And immediately, when we started talking about subjects for today's episode, I asked you, Mike, what did you want to talk about? And this is rare, because when we get Mike in the conversation, folks, Mike will talk about anything. He's very opinionated. But it's also very rare that you will come up with, a ton of suggestions. And this is, you had a laundry list of things you want to talk about today. A laundry list. So I'm going to start this off real easy, because we are likely playing without fans this year. You played in front of fans. Guys, how's it going to feel like to play in front of a fanless stadium this year?
Yeah, that would be one of the more interesting things. I mean, you think of it maybe in terms of a scrimmage or something like that, or in a squad that you have, last 10 plays of practice or something. But when you think of you're actually supposed to be playing in front of people, yeah, that would be weird. Probably the first go round, maybe like, okay, man, this is a little weird. But when you're actually talking about playing a season week in and week out, that probably will get a little interesting. But I would imagine, though they say it's fanless, it won't be totally fanless, because you still got to have people there, doing certain things. So I'm sure there'll be a few people in the stands.
Yeah, I mean, the most of the teams have already opted out their season ticket holders, I think, and are going to allow at some point, depending on where we are in this whole curve, allow some fans in the stands maybe at some point. So we'll see. But initially, you could see, October, November, maybe not having any fans in the stands. And if you think about team sports and how fans affect the visiting team, football is by far the greatest effect on visiting teams in sense of what's going on in the field. You have to go to a silent count, and we know all about the Seattle stadium and Philadelphia's a hard place, and Buffalo's a hard place to play, and those are three venues where the Rams are going to have to play this year, particularly in the beginning of the year. In Philadelphia and in Buffalo, which are notoriously tough places to play, and without fans, it becomes basically almost a neutral site game. I suppose they might be able to pump in a certain level of noise, maybe. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that yet. But it's going to be a very different experience on the field for the players, in the sense that you probably won't have to have a silent count. So it's going to be interesting to see and how that evolves, and also how many fans are they going to allow at some point. Is it to be depending on, you know, what state or what county and how bad or how good your numbers are in terms of COVID, whether they'll have a certain percentage of fans, and how's that going to relate to, you know, a home field advantage, if you will. But, you know, I don't know that 10,000 people in a 70,000 seat stadium is going to make much of a difference.
That's what I was wondering. I mean, Mike, how much of a home field advantage does this actually give you a team now, considering there may not be anybody really there that will cheer? I mean, team employees?
Yeah, I mean, you still have the home field advantage in the sense of you're going, in some cases, teams are able to stay at home on Saturday nights. Most of them, you know, we have to go hold up at a hotel, but in some places, guys are able to stay at home and those type of things. So you have the normalness or the normalcy of being at home, your own bed, doing things pretty normal. Hey, I drive to the stadium. I know I'm driving home. I don't have to take a flight back somewhere. So in that sense, it's still going to be somewhat an advantage. But yeah, with the fans, especially in those places you named that are very loud and makes hard for you to get checks out on, you know, with your offense and things like that, yeah, that will definitely equal the playing field when you're playing in someone else's stadium.
I think we're going to see a lot of wacky football games this year because of it. I don't think we're going to see, you know, will Green Bay be as big of a home field advantage? I mean, I'm sure it will be in the cold, but will it be as big of one as it would have been? What about Buffalo or Washington or New York, or even, you know, for the Rams? For many years now, we've been sitting back and thinking, well, I wish we had a home field advantage, because sometimes it doesn't seem like it. But in reality, I don't see many of these teams really having a true blue home field advantage, when the only thing that now is your advantage would be the elements themselves, cold weather or rainy weather, right? Miami. I mean, can you think of any other home field advantage you'd have besides the fact you're at home? You know, you could sleep in your own bed that night before, and it's your environment.
No, it's really going to level the playing field. Obviously, what Michael alluded to in terms of the travel, yes, because that takes you out of your practice schedule a bit, right? And but I have a feeling that most teams are going to be, they're not going to leave on a Friday anymore for games that are, you know, 2,000, 3,000 miles away. I think they want to limit the exposure that they have with their teams, in terms of, it might be, you know, leave on Saturday morning and get there Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, depending if you're going East Coast, West Coast, whatever you're doing, and just having one night at a hotel and kind of limiting the exposure to any outside elements that way. So the travel might change a bit. But, yeah, I mean, other than the weather, I think they're going to be pretty much neutral site games. And, you know, that could be advantage for the offense. We could see a lot more offense this year. It'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see.
So let me ask you the question, though. Overall, with the weirdness of the season, if we have a season, just the weirdness in general, how excited are you about training camp? You usually come in pretty upbeat, but how are you feeling, Mike?
Well, yeah, one of the questions that comes to mind is simply, what type of intensity will actually be out on a football field this year? You know what I mean? Now, there's going to be some, like, you know, back in the day, you know, we would travel down to the Chargers camp, or they would come up to us, and it was known to be some scuffles because it was just, okay, summer, we don't really like you guys. You know, we're the real LA and all this kind of stuff. So that's one of my big questions. What type of intensity will be brought to that actual games? You know, are guys going to be thinking more of, hey man, this is football and it's back to normal as best we can, let's get out here and get things popping? Or is it going to be, you look across the field and you're thinking like, man, you know, I'm sure he missed his family, and man, nobody wants to take this back to home, or those type of things. So that's one of my things. I'm looking to see what kind of intensity can be brought to the games, And how long does that last? Or is it more like, you know, we see at the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, but I think once, and Michael, you're obviously, you played the game, so this is your area of expertise, but I think once these guys maybe get in between the lines and start, you know, hitting each other, I think the outside, things that are going on in terms of COVID might forget it for 3 hours is what I'm trying to say. And I think maybe the intensity will be there. But if, you know, going back to the lack of crowd noise, I could see that not having the intensity in terms of players on the field. I mean, I don't know, obviously Michael's a better person to speak on this than I am, but, you know, not having that crowd noise, not being able to shut the home crowd up if you're a visiting team, or getting pumped up as a defensive player because everybody's on their feet and screaming on third down. So is the intensity from that standpoint going to, you know, be affected at all? So that'll be kind of interesting to see as well.
I mean, I would think that players would go in with the same intensity. I'm wondering, as the game wears on and you are used to having those advantages or disadvantages, I'm wondering then how they'll handle the changes. Like, how, you know, you're used to fourth quarter down 3 points and you're on a home field having the crowd behind you, all of a sudden you don't. Would you be missing in any kind of way something from your game? Will we see, as a result, will we see fewer fourth quarter comebacks this year? Will we see, you know, what will we see? That's what I'm really wondering. But I guess we'll find out. I'm wondering overall for training camp. I look for all of it as to what kind of year we're going to have. But there are issues here, like the backup quarterback. Who's our backup, guys?
Well, I think Wolford's going to be the backup. For especially in this environment where he's already has a year in the system with McVay and the familiarity he has with the offense, it's going to be really difficult for Perkins and Love to get up to speed. So, unless the backup quarterback is not in the building and they feel like they wanted to bring a Blake Bortles back, because he was in the system last year and as a veteran. And to be honest, how comfortable are we having John? Like if Goff, I'm knocking on wood right now, guys, but if Goff goes down for a month, are you comfortable with having John Wolford start 4 games for you? I don't know the answer to that right now because we haven't really seen him. We've only really seen him in preseason, right? So and he looked good, and he looked like he's a very serviceable backup. But you know, the preseason and the regular season are two different speed tracks. That's two different raceways. So I think Wolford, just because of where we are and the lack of reps and no preseason games, is going to be, unless he just fails miserably. And then if that happens, I could see them bringing a Blake Bortles back.
Yeah, I totally agree in the sense that when you look at it, you have a guy with 1 year of experience in Wolford and Perkins and Love being rookie. So you figure, well, how's a rookie if he's not really having a preseason, didn't really have, you know, any mini camps and things like that, except, you know, whatever they've been doing, by distance. I think it may be someone else. So if Blake Bortles doesn't get signed, you know, obviously they know they can bring a veteran guy in at the snap of a finger. They may give these guys whatever they can to try to evaluate them and go, you know what, we need to just bring a guy who's been here, you know, and again, is he going to be willing to come, you know, back? So he's still unsigned, I guess.
Yeah, Bortles is still unsigned. But I mean, McVay, and obviously he's going to say all the right things in terms of Wolford, but it sounds like they have a lot of confidence in him, and you know, not just the physical part, but the cerebral part of it as well. And I think they like him, and he does bring, you know, a lot of mobility and athleticism to the position. And, you know, with a guy who's a backup, he probably would need to have some mobility. But, yeah, I mean, I think Wolford's going to be the guy. Like I said, unless he fails miserably. And how can he even fail miserably? Because it's only going to be practice. It's not going to be any preseason games, right? So, you know, I
so
think
Derek,
he's
what's the backup. What's your thoughts, man?
My thoughts are twofold. A, if Blake Bortles is going to be a factor, he'd already be signed. I think there's a reason why. I mean, nobody signed him. And he was in Ram with the Rams all year last year. There had to have been something there that they didn't like, or he'd be back because nobody signed him.
Yeah. I mean, or he might not want to play.
He might not want to, but there was never even a buzz about him signing. But there was never even before all this stuff really broke up, there was never a buzz about him wanting to play for anybody or about the Rams wanting him back. Okay, so in the meantime, we did hear a lot of buzz about how people feel about Wolford. And we saw him play in the AAF, and he looked pretty good. But I know, it's AAF. We'll see. But I think it's telling to me that he's the man in camp right now and not Blake Bortles or somebody else. There are a lot of veterans in this league. There were a lot of people who were calling out, for example, for the Rams to go after Cam Newton, which would have been hard to pull with the salary cap as it was. Yet, that was never even really even, talked about from the Rams. I think it's just they like the guy, and that's the bottom line. I mean, Wolford, I mean.
Yeah, but if you're just talking about Cam Newton in particular, I mean, I'm sure Cam Newton and his agent wanted him to go to a place where he has the ability to take over the number one job. And of course, that wasn't going to happen with the Rams. So, you know, there's got to be two people want to dance together. So from Cam Newton's perspective, it wouldn't probably make a lot of sense for him to go to the Rams.
Sure. Now, and I was just saying, there are a lot of veterans out there that the Rams could have chosen. They could have went after, and they didn't. They just stuck with the guy that was there. Yeah.
Right. And I think to your point, it shows a lot of confidence in Wolford. So I think he's going to be the guy.
Mike, I mean, are you thinking Wolford's the guy? I mean, you're the one kind of picked off and thought, well, maybe kind of pointed at maybe getting somebody else. Is what were you thinking when you brought this question up?
Yeah, I'm just thinking that, you know, when you look at, you know, and I go back to the analogy that was pointed out earlier, if for some reason Jared Goff has to miss more 2, 3, 4 games, who's actually going to go in there? You know, are you confident that you can split those four? Are you confident you can win 3 out of 4? Are you going to be like, we're about to be 0-4? You know, I don't know. But it seems that they're, one, sold on Goff, and two, not really bringing someone in that would really push for his position. So that tells me they want, you know, Goff to be the guy and be the guy for the long haul. That being said, you always want to have someone, not so much that they're looking over their shoulder, but that they just feel a little uncomfortable. You know, Tom Brady is a guy, you guys can bring anybody in here you want. They're going to have to work hard to take this spot, you know, just to hear. And so, and in their case, they were able to bring in, I would say, what have been some solid, you know, quarterbacks that obviously have left there and went other places. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think, as Steve has said, that John absolutely poses a great opportunity that he could go in and do something. But again, this is the NFL, and if you haven't really seen real snaps, then against real fronts coming after you, that's a little bit different. But again, I go back to my point, how much intensity is really going to be brought to the table when – you kind of going out there in a practice game environment.
Yeah. Well, and if you want to talk about the other two, if you want to talk about the quarterback position, and I mean, the first question is, do they keep more than two? Now, traditionally in the McVay Snead era, they've only kept two and then one on the practice squad. Is that going to change this year? Are they with the added the two extra spots on the roster? Will they keep three quarterbacks? Will they keep three quarterbacks on the active roster, maybe one on the practice squad, and basically keep all four? based on the fact that, you know, we're hoping Jared Goff is making the right decisions, right? And not going to concerts or, I mean, that's a bit of an overstatement, but you know, that he's doing the right things to take care of himself. But, you know, if a guy goes down and test positive, even though he might not have symptoms, he's going to miss two games. I mean, unless it hits during a bye week, he's going to miss a minimum of two games and maybe more. So do you want to keep a third quarterback who's actually in the room and maybe getting a couple of live snaps? Well, third-string quarterback's probably not getting too many live snaps. But, you know, I mean, do you want to keep a third guy? Do you want to keep a fourth guy on the practice squad? And you know, Perkins had a lot of highlight reel plays at Virginia, but I just don't, you know, he is not ready to be an NFL quarterback this year. He has a lot of talent, but he has got a long ways to go in terms of his mechanics. And I mean, with his ball, with the ball in his hands, I think he's a great, you know, wildcat type option. Or, you know, as a dual threat, like a Taysom Hill is it with the Saints. But, you know, I don't think he's ready to play 3-4 games. And Josh Love from San Jose State looks fantastic on film. I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at him, but he really does look good. He actually reminds me a little bit of Kurt Warner. I think I've actually said that before about him, and I'm not comparing him to having or saying he's going to have a Hall of Fame career, but he is very accurate on deep ball, and a very cerebral guy. And, you know, there's a lot to like about him too. So, you know, maybe they keep four, and, you know, maybe one on the practice squad and three on the active roster. So it'll be interesting to see, especially because, man, your starting quarterback goes down for whatever those reasons are for 3-4 weeks. And now you are one positive test away to go into your third string quarterback. And hopefully that person's, you know, got some knowledge of the playbook.
Well, think about that for a moment, though. If your starting quarterback goes down, then your second string quarterback and your third string quarterback are probably down because they're all in the same room together. They're all been exposed. They're all going to be quarantined.
Yeah, but, you know, and this is kind of going back to the protocols and a point I wanted to make earlier. The protocols the Rams have put in, I don't know if you guys, either one of you guys have actually seen it. They posted it on the Rams website, and they actually had it on NFL Network. But the protocols that they're going through, one of them involves team meetings, and that the meetings will not be indoors. The meetings are actually going to be outdoors underneath a tent. And supposedly it's like a circus big top tent. Like, it's that big. It's ginormous. And all the position players are going to have their tent, are going to have their meetings in these tents. And so they're trying to, you know, mitigate the risk. Obviously the quarterback room being probably the most important room that there is. So yeah, but again, they're on the practice field. They're slapping each other high five. They're, you know, you're right, Derek. You don't know if a quarterback gets it. There's a good chance a second string quarterback could get it too. So,
Mike,
yeah, that quarterback situation is, again, as you guys have noted, it's going to be real interesting. And yeah, I didn't know the whole outside, but that makes sense. Everything, you know, like dining out here in California, hey, you can stay open, just go outside. That's right. On the patio. So I get it. And, you know, I think, you know, we were talking a little bit off air, Derek and Steve, that as we get going and, you know, as we're more into this area of what it is, again, never want to take this situation lightly. It's very serious. I know it is it around here. You know, I have two, what would be a little bit higher risk, and my wife and my son here at home. So definitely, but I think as we continue to go down the road and, you know, we get a little more information, whether it's in protecting ourselves or if you do get it, hey, these are some things that actually work remedy-wise to protect yourself from getting seriously ill. And I say that because I have one of my young coaches who will be heading back to Tennessee here in the next week or so. he told me the other day, he's like, hey, coach, because he had went to give some blood here in town, which is pretty interesting for a young man to do that. But he said they told him he had the COVID-19 at least twice. And I go,
oh,
yeah. And he goes, I go, well, how'd they figure that out? He said, well, because I had like all these antibodies in my blood. And but they told him that, yeah, it's very unlikely you could really ever get it because now you basically have a cure that's already inside your body. So for a lot of us, that may already be the case. You know what I mean? I haven't went and got tested, but I think, you know, back in January, I got what I thought was sick, that, you know, I usually don't get sick. But then later on, you hear about all this stuff and I'm like, man, I wonder if that might have been, you know, COVID. You know, yeah. I wasn't short of breath or something like that, but I did have a fever and a few of those symptoms. But anyway, yeah, all in all, it's going to be a path worth watching. But that's been one of the big concerns, is if a quarterback gets it and he's your active guy, what do you then do to replace him if he has to now go be quarantined for 14 days?
Yeah, that, I mean, that who wins the Super Bowl this year might be the team that stays the healthiest, right?
That's so, right.
And I'll tell you, Reggie Scott, if this team could stay healthy, it would probably be the MVP of the team, being the head trainer. And so, I mean, the trainers, more than just about anybody on the team, including the head coach, are going to be vastly important to everybody's organization. So, I mean, can you imagine a starting quarterback going down for 3 weeks? I mean, that could, or could, depending on who your backup is and how well they play behind the guy plays behind your starter, that sinks your season possibly. So, you know, we'll see. It's going to be an interesting thing to navigate.
That's why, you know, and I know we're going to get on to some other topic, but that's why I've been saying for now a few weeks, I guess, that I just believe everybody, no matter what, is going to get a mulligan this year. Because as we're just talking about some of the things, I'm sure on top of that, there's even more, you know, again, when you are talking about travel, there's a lot that goes into that. Typically, equipment people, they take off the day before, they get set up, they get the locker room all set up. So now, does that also come with a COVID cleaning before you go in, a COVID cleaning after?
How about hotel rooms? Don't you think teams will want to send their own people in to clean the team's hotel room, or to buy a whole hotel out? You know, maybe you're not staying at the Ritz-Carlton that you really can't, you know, buy out, but maybe you buy out a boutique hotel in Philadelphia, you know, where they might only have 200, you know, 150 rooms or whatever, and you just buy the whole hotel out. So, you know, it's kind of, you kind of create your own little bubble there.
Right. So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So other things in camp two, we're talking about, include, well, Corona's just going to be in the background altogether, but that, so we should go ahead and mention this now. Chandler Brewer has been placed on the opt-out list. He's chosen to opt out for the season. He said, with my history with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, I'm at a higher risk and will opt out of playing the NFL in this season, he said. I would like to thank the Rams for their support and look forward to getting back on the field in 2021 and beyond. So he does have the Rams support for this. Lesney did note that. And also, this was yesterday, placed Michael Hecht and Terrell Lewis on the COVID list. Now, Hecht is already off the list. He's already, you know, says okay. So that's a good sign. But like you said, Steve, this could be anybody, anytime this year, right? You know, this could be half a team on the list. The Super Bowl winner might be who's the healthiest.
Yeah, it could be one of those last man standing type of things. Like who has the healthiest players and at the key positions too? Because, you know, it's one thing to lose your third string tight end for a couple of weeks. It's another to lose your starting quarterback. So obviously, there's going to be certain guys are going to. But again, the third string tight end could affect the first string quarterback, right? So you got to make sure that Sean McVay today called it an ecosystem, and it is an ecosystem. So everybody has to police themselves, and players are going to have to police each other. And if they see a guy doing a thing, maybe, or discussing doing something outside of the facility, you know, there's going to have to be some policing going down there. And Michael, you know better than me, in the locker room, there's no better police than your fellow teammates, right? So
yeah, but I mean, that's where I can see where a lot of problem, because there's also, you know, you're professionals, you're grown-up men, but because part of it is a sport you love so much, playing, if you will, there's still a lot of kind of banter and horseplay that goes back and forth. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe it may be a little less because of what's at stake, but, you know, do they have separated showers? You know,
Yes, they are. Yeah, it's so funny you say that, because they're going to have separated showers. They're going to have plexiglass in between. You can't share a water bottle. Everybody is going to have their own water bottle for the whole season. It's going to have your name ingrained on it. So no more sharing water bottles, no more sharing soap dispensers, you know, things like that that you would be used to in a normal locker room setting. So, yeah, they're taking those safety protocols.
Yeah, so you have all those things in play, but still there's going to be, you know, horseplay or people trying to play little tricks on each other and things like that. So, again, I think what will happen is, like I said, you know, with my younger coach, it almost seems like, to your point, Steve, hey, if we're going to get COVID, let's get it early in the year. All right, you guys, now that you've had it, you have built up antibodies, right, if that holds true. And now that team is really not going to have to worry about someone coming down with it again, you know, for the duration. So it may be a timing thing like that, that they go, hey, man, if we're going to get it, let's just get it all as a team right now, take our two losses. And then, you know, we got a 14-week run.
Yeah, I mean, the science doesn't 100% point to that, because I actually know somebody who had it and then waited a while, tested positive, and then maybe waited too long to get an antibody test because the antibodies came up negative, right? So if you're talking about herd immunity within a team, I don't think that's going to happen. And I mean, that's just too much of a risk. And the other thing is, if you get tested every single day, you'd have to shut down. You'd have to shut down the team. You know, you'd have to shut down. And this is not just for the players. This is for the organization. Not just the people who are on the team, but the people in the front office, the people who have, you know, contact with players, you know, the training staff, the guys in the locker room preparing helmets, preparing mouth guards, whatever, what have you. So, I mean, I know there's a lot of protocols that are going in, but people within those buildings are going to be tested daily, pretty much. So, it's going to be interesting.
I just think that it's so contagious. You kind of just have to just cross your fingers, man. Seriously, get down your knee and pray. I'm a believer that we're probably going to see this season split up a bit. I don't think it's going to work out the way anybody thinks it's going to work out, because it's just, you know, I look back like to this week where we saw like Herman Cain, that Republican former presidential candidate, die of it. We've had Nick, that guy from who was on Broadway, was my age, who died of it. We've had over 1,000 people. Over 1,000 people die this week of it, and I'm just thinking
1,000 people a day.
Yeah, 1,000 people a day, and I'm just, there's no way that they're all being careless. There's no way that they're all not being careless. It's going to get around, and so I hate to be the Debbie Downer here, but this is going to, to me, this just has a ring of a season that's going to be uncertain all the way through, because you just never know when that germ's going to get in the locker room.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's going to be difficult because they're not in a bubble like the NBA is in a bubble. The NHL is pretty much in a bubble in the sense they're in two cities, right? So there's not a lot of travel going on. And so you could say that they're kind of in a bubble too. And so what sport has the first outbreak, and like you said at the beginning of the podcast, you know, the Miami Marlins, they're putting baseball's in jeopardy right now. I mean, and so, but these guys are not in a bubble, and they're going out and they're doing their thing, and it just took one or two of those guys on that roster to affect a lot of people in that organization, and that kind of just shows you, you know, that guys are going to have to police each other, and they're going to have to do the right thing, and so that's what's going to, it's going to come down to who remains the healthiest.
I just think it's going to be a crapshoot. I Mike, you and I talked about this, about the Mulligans thing. I'm not even sure it's Mulligans. I just don't know how much talent will matter this year. I mean, talent will matter with from the worst team in the league to the best team in the league. I'm sure in some cases the best team in the league is, and even with some people doubt, are going to be better than the worst team in the league, talent wise. But I'm just wondering how much this sickness will, in the end, create parity. How much will, because if all of a sudden the Bucks lose Tom Brady or somebody else to something, they're a different team. The Eagles lose Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz, or there's a, you know, offensive line gets taken out. If the Rams lose Aaron Donald, Michael Brockers, and Jalen Ramsey goes to that locker room, then what? I mean, that's a whole different team.
Yeah, no doubt. And when you think of, in terms of, we're all also assuming if there was someone who tested, that it's only going to be the whatever 10 to 14 days. But what if you're a 21-day guy?
Right.
And then what if you're like Ezekiel Elliott, who says, yeah, I don't have it anymore, but yeah, I'm still really short of breath. I can't really do this. You know what I mean? So then you have, you know, it's like that hamstring injury that now turns into a six-week hammy. So that's that flip side of that coin.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty.
It's going to be a lot of education, and it's going to be incumbent upon coaching staffs and the head coach, obviously, and obviously Sean McVay's. We've known him to become a pretty good communicator and getting his point across to his players. So, you know, I think it's going to be about education for all of these guys, and it's, and to take it seriously, and, you know, to do all the things that they're supposed to do, and knowing that your season is in jeopardy. If you don't do these things, your season is in jeopardy. And so I think from that standpoint, if players can take it seriously, and they all the teams have had protocols that have now been approved by the CDC and by the NFL, I think we can get through the season okay. But again, it's going to be up to the players, and they're going to have to police themselves. So
Derek, real quick, do you think the NFL could create a bubble in maybe, let's say, four cities, since it's more teams?
I think they could. I think that if they did, let me ask this question. You remember back when you were 21, 22, 23 years old in the league, right?
I see where you're going.
Okay. I mean, I just think about that, and I think, you know, I'm a 41-year-old dude, man, right, who's gotten to the point in his life where I'm just comfortable being at home.
Right.
A 23-year-old.
I see where you're going.
I would seriously wonder at the mental health of 17 weeks of a season being stuck in a city quarantining with your teammates, and you can't do jack. Like, I mean,
yeah.
Well, I guess you just got to go down to Atlanta and get you some Lou Will Hot
Wheels. Well, it's so funny you say that, Michael, because I spent a lot of time in Atlanta. I worked in Atlanta the last 2 years. I probably spent more time in Atlanta than I've spent at home. And it's so funny to me that I mean, that a strip club would actually be open during this time. Right. A strip club is not exactly, you know, a place for social distancing, let's say.
Right.
And it's so funny, but I will tell you the hot wings there are really, really good. But
man, I wouldn't touch any of those hot wings. We talked. I wouldn't touch any of those things. You just, oh my gosh!
I mean, you wonder how
carry some Lysol. I
mean, you wonder why the Marlins got, you know, are
right.
I mean, look, Michael, you played in South Beach. We don't need to tell you what's going on in South Beach. So I mean, yeah, I mean it depends on the city. But as far as the bubble goes, that ship is long sailed. Obviously, I mean they're kind of locked into how things are going to go now. But yeah, I mean the fact that there's so many teams and they're at the beginning of the season, where the NHL and the NBA were already at the end of their seasons. So logistically, it was. You know, obviously a lot easier for those leagues to have a bubble, you know, unlike baseball, who was just starting their season and couldn't put their teams in a bubble because there are too many of them, and logistically it just would not make sense. I mean, it would just be a nightmare. Where would they be playing? You know, what stadiums would they play at and all that? So anyways, that ship's kind of sailed. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's going to, again, it's going to go back to who remains healthy, so, and smart.
Well, we'll find out. I know the Rams have been doing the best they can to get these guys in, you know, as a team to play smart. But even the Rams coaching staff for the most part is pretty young. I'm just wondering how they will. Let me say it this way. I think this year will be one of the most mentally trying seasons in NFL history in every team, but especially the teams that are younger, the teams who you know, they got a bunch of young guys trying to lead a bunch of young guys. I'm very interested in like what happens in Cleveland. Cleveland's freaking cold as a young team up there with a first year head coach. That is going to be, I mean, and they're just as low. They were loaded last year, talent, and saw what happened. They're still loaded. Okay. They could easily come out this year and go 12-4 or go 4-12.
Right.
I mean, so how will these young teams react with, you know, young coaches? You know, for the Rams, being in L.A., I just look at it and go, well, you know, there are some rocks there. Aaron Donald being one of them, Aaron Whitworth, who's had COVID. That's leadership, hopefully.
Yes,
these guys
that's
settle
a
down.
Great point. Yeah, Derek, that's a great point, actually, about Andrew Whitworth. Because there's a guy who's a leader in the locker room, who's actually experienced it firsthand, whose father-in-law had to go to the hospital, and his whole family got it. And actually, I think one of his kids was pretty ill. And so there's a guy who, if any of the younger guys are going to listen to as a team leader and as a veteran, he's going to be a guy who's going to have, you know, who's been through it, who's been on the front lines of the disease. So that's a great point. Yeah, exactly.
All right, everybody. So in what's been a rather wacky night since we went on the air, you know, Mike comes on the show. We're going to leave that in. Let's leave that in, okay? Let's leave that a whole weirdness in the end so we can be like, where'd Mike go? Did Mike do one of his disappearances again or not? Let's leave that in the show just for giggles. Well, we're going to be back midweek. You know, we were actually just starting to dig in on training camp, and by midweek, we're going to know a little more what's going on. We know that Hard Knocks is going to be filming. We know that there are lots of questions surrounding this roster, like what's next after Todd Gurley? What about the fact that the front seven has possibly as many as five starters? That's what Turf Show Times actually know this week. You know, hey, what about Jalen Ramsey? Where is he now with John Johnson back? That's going to be a great secondary to talk about. New coordinators across the board. We got an offensive line which the team didn't really address until late in the draft. We have a lot of things to dig in on and not enough time to do it. So before we roll out of here, though, any final thoughts from you, Steve? What you got?
Yeah, first of all, when you just said that, talking football, you got me incredibly excited. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to sleep until our next podcast because I am so fired up about just talking football. I just want to talk football. I mean, I know all these things have to be talked about and all, but man, I can't wait to talk about, you know, the tight end room and the offensive line room and the D-backs and what the roster is going to look like and how that's going to shake out. So I'm very excited about that. So yeah, let's do that. Let's get on that road.
Mike,
Yeah, man, I'm excited to see, you know, how this running back situation, you know, the report out that, you know, we got such a worse running back situation based on youth and all this kind of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see. That's going to be one of the spots I'm really looking at, the running back position. We already talked about the quarterback position, but, you know, looking forward to, you know, getting up to speed earlier, later on in this week in regards to what's really going on now that things are actually moving in that direction.
Guess we're going to find out. For me, I am cautiously optimistic, believe it or not. I know you all think I'm the Debbie Downer, but I think that we're going to have a season. I just have no idea how it's going to break down, but I'm confident we're going to have a season. So let's get going. You can find us at Talk Rams on Twitter. You can find us at ramstalk.net for all of our written stuff. You can find the podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. You can find me on Twitter, DC Paul. You can find Mike at 1Dude23. And here we go. See if I can remember. It's been so long. Steve Goldstein at Rams R Home 16. Did I get it?
Yes. RAMSR and Home, HOME 16. That's Steve's quality tweets at that.
No. Bam. So all that in mind, we'll see you all next week. Well, not next week. This week, midweek for another show. We are out of here. Have a great one.
Out of here.
This episode is sponsored by Schwann's.com. What are you having for dinner tonight? Good question. Schwann's Home Delivery has a solution for you. Stock up your freezer with high-quality frozen foods like premium meats and sides, delicious ready-made meals, ice cream, and more. No subscriptions, no memberships, just a friendly yellow truck that's been delivering food for almost 70 years. Listeners of this show get a special deal. Get 20% off your first order with code YUM20. Check out schwanns.com/yum for details.
You can't control what's outside your home, but you can control what comes in. Because Clorox disinfecting wipes kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria, including COVID-19 virus, when used as directed on hard, non-porous surfaces. So whether it's from dirty doorknobs, dirty shoes, or something else, outside germs won't stand a chance. When it counts, trust Clorox. Kill Pseudomonas, Salmonella, and Influenza virus type A2. Kill SARS-CoV-2 on hard, non-porous surfaces. Use as directed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.